Welcome back, Dodecadorks. We're the 12-Sided Guys. We have Scott as Ornan.
At your service.
Sabrina as Sylvie.
Oh, hello.
Jordan as Mogrim.
You're most welcome.
Matt as Guy.
Hello, nurse.
No, it's going to be hello, nun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That is my name. Don't wear it out.
And me, Paul, as the guy who's been brushing up on his thieves' cant. And I can say one thing's for certain. I'll have a potato, please. Speaking of potatoes, if you want some more 12-Sided goodness, you should check out our after show, Your Neighbor's Potatoes. If you listen, you will tots adorbs. You never know which of us may turnip to talk about the most recent episodes.
You made, but you made wanna... tots adorbs?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't.
Do you mean adore?
like totes adorbs? I don't know.
But if you,
that's like adorable, a... not adore. Like,
yeah,
I love it.
Adorbs with a B.
I said tots adorbs.
I know.
With a B. Yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to say adorable.
How's that an action?
Oh, you'll totally adorable it.
Okay. Okay, guys.
But it's
well,
great.
Thanks for derailing me. Well, anyway, I'm going to read this sentence over again. You never know which of us may turnip to talk about the most recent episodes, but you'll want to mash that like button once you listen. Okay, let me put my chips on the table. You got to become a patron to hear it, but it's worth its weight in gold and delicious. Oh, wait, those are apples. But you should scowl up your friends and tell them to stop waffle frying and check us out. Best one coming up. Here it comes. We've been poutine in a lot of effort, and they won't be disappointed. Yeah.
That's pretty good, eh? That's pretty good.
Anyway, if you're like me and you start your potato farms by killing zombies, then this podcast is for you. It's The Chorus of the Forsaken, episode 31.
That was beautiful.
Is that Minecraft you were talking about?
It was Minecraft, yes. Yes, it was Minecraft. I'd have a zombie come attack me holding a potato or a carrot for some reason. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Via Severia in the city of Redlam. Last time we were together, Sylvie was being chased away from the Church of Aeona by a bunch of Aeonian inquisitors, as well as some of the Hemnalites, the church workers, being chased through the city because of her shenanigans in the Church of Aeona. As she entered into the central market.
It was the
market.
Organist and an altar boy and...
Yeah, exactly.
And the groundskeeper.
Yes. As she entered into the central market, she tried to lose them amongst the crowds, including going and talking to a tabaxi father and son who were selling potions. Or maybe it was just snake oil, but we never got to find out.
I think it was mostly acid, actually.
Yeah, there was a lot of acid, yes. And not the good kind.
It's a good thing we didn't buy that.
Seriously.
So as Sylvie was trying to avoid detection, we suddenly saw that off to the side, hanging out together, were three familiar faces. Brenneth, Serena, and Calden were all shopping together, enjoying an evening, just going and seeing what was for sale in the central market. They spotted Sylvie, saw that she was in trouble, and before too much could happen, she was spotted by the Inquisitors. A battle ensued, one in which Calden helped Sylvie get clear to the other side of the market and out of the way, and the rest of the B team took on the Inquisitors of Aeona. As the fight progressed, Gardenia came with some of the guards and attempted to stop the melee, but these Inquisitors of Aeona were not to be stopped, and they fought back, killing one of the guards. But all of the Aeonians were killed, and Sylvie got away, and that is actually where we're at right now, currently. So, jumping back into Redlam, we go to Sylvie. Sylvie, as you get away from the central market, you are running. You can hear the sounds of battle behind you. You can actually feel some of the arcane energy coursing through the air as the Nivorian Inquisitors, these magic users, as they are shooting out bolts of fire and as they are trying to bring down your friends from the B team. Where do you go, Sylvie? You feel like you've gotten away and nobody is following you, but where do you go?
I'm going to, well, first I'm going to try to duck into an alley and kind of make sure that I'm hidden from people. And then I am going to cast Disguise Self again. And this time kind of try to go more dwarfish in shape and make my way back to the inn.
Sylvie, as you make your way as this dwarf, you move through the streets. The streets are starting to clear because it is getting to be dark. The sun has gone down. The moon is hidden behind rain clouds. It's not currently raining at this moment, but you can see...
The sun has gone down. The moon has come up.
And long ago, somebody left with the cup. Sylvie, you go the distance all the way to the Oaken Throne Inn. As you...
The distance.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
She going for speed?
Strolling like a normal dwarf, just chilling.
She is all alone. She is all alone. All right. As you arrive at the Oaken Throne, you come move into the common room just as rain starts to fall again. It has been one of these days that has rained on and off, but when it does rain, it is heavy, heavy downpour. Big, thick raindrops that just soak you through in a matter of seconds. But you manage to get into the Oaken Throne in time to avoid the rain. As you walk into the common room, you can see that two of your friends are down in the common room, Ornan and Mogrim. They, however, do not recognize the dwarven woman who walks in.
I will casually walk up to them and whisper, "It's me, Sylvie. I'm in disguise."
Oh, wow. Oh. You've got a lot of chest hair.
Well, thank you. I actually think it looks quite good on me.
This is quite the surprise. I was not expecting this at all.
Yeah, there might have been a little bit of an incident at the temple. We were trying to find the dungeons, and we didn't do a very good job of that. And someone saw me specifically poking around. I don't think they recognized me. I had a different disguise on, but we might want to get out of the city ASAP.
Somebody recognized you that Guy has a date with.
Well, but they didn't. She didn't see me.
Yes, she. Well, you know what? You're right. She may not have seen you because of the fog cloud. She would have seen you retreating, though, out the door, which would have been your back and would have been at some distance. So that is very, very true. You guys notice, though, Sylvie, you notice that Guy has not come back to the inn.
I hope he didn't get stuck. I'd feel real bad about that, but, you know, I had to get out of there.
Are we still going to try and save that lady?
Well, maybe Guy found something more than I did.
She was a child, wasn't she?
Yes. No, I think we should... I'd still like to try to save her, and maybe Guy found something more exciting than I did, but everywhere I looked, it was just normal dormitories and religious folks going about their days.
Hmm, interesting. Well, it sounds definitely like we probably need to just get the heck out of the city, because... Between what's happened for you and the fact that I was confronted with Elion, I think we are compromised.
I think compromise is a great way to put it.
As you guys are talking, you see that another dwarven woman comes walking into the inn. So there is now Sylvie, who looks like this dwarf. There is the woman behind the bar, the bartender. She is a dwarven woman. And you see that now walking in is another dwarven woman. this one you recognize. She has dark brown hair. She's wearing leather and furs. She's got some leaves in her hair, more in like the shape of a crown or an ornament, and not just like she was digging around in a bush and just didn't clear out her hair. It's definitely ornamental. As she,
that's,
you
very,
know,
that's very specific.
You know what I mean?
Like, she definitely has been digging in a bush.
I was pruning a tree.
By the way, what's the chest hair situation on these other two dwarven women?
They are buttoned up tight because it is cold outside, so they're not showing much cleavage, so you don't know. But you do recognize this woman. Danan enters into the Oaken Throne. This is one of the druids from the druid circle here in Redlam. She informed you that she would potentially travel with you if you were going in the direction of Jib-Jab. Danan walks up, sees that you're talking, just kind of gives you a nod, and goes and sits at the bar. Kind of orders a drink and turns around, just kind of glances around the common room. You can tell that she's waiting for you to finish whatever you're doing. She doesn't want to interrupt your conversation. But Danan is now here at the bar in the Oaken Throne.
It looks like we have somebody looking to speak with us.
Yes. Before we go and talk to Danan, I think we should still try to rescue that girl.
Do you have any thoughts on how we could accomplish that?
Well, I can also make myself look like a dwarf and perhaps just walk right in. I have a little more experience than Sylvie or Guy with the Church of Aeona, so perhaps I could have a little better luck.
It sounds very risky, but I do hate the thought of leaving her on her own with no support.
As you are having this conversation, you see more figures walk in that you recognize. So you have Danan waiting at the bar to talk with you as three more figures come in. These three you met earlier today. You see a man with sort of full cheeks, a dark black beard and black hair. He comes into entering in Winston from the Silent Voice, the man who you were introduced to at the manor when you first arrived, as well as Lillian, the woman with the rapier at her waist, the one who Hagrim said, "Hey, step on me, mommy."
Why, hello.
And then also you see Zephyr, the tiefling son of Marie, who his sister is Evelyn, the one who has been taken by the Church of Aeona. You see they all enter in. Lillian and Zephyr stay back towards the door, and Winston steps in, sees all of you having a conversation, and he sits kind of across on the other side of the common room, waiting to have a conversation with you as well. Why don't you guys make perception checks real quick?
It's quite the entourage.
It is.
Ornan got an 11.
Sylvie got a 16.
Margrim got a 10. I think he is just kind of a little enthralled with Lillian.
Ornan and Victor, you guys see these three enter. You see Winston come in. Margrim, you notice Lillian. You see that she's talking to Zephyr for a while. And then as you turn away to talk back with Ornan and Sylvie, you glance back towards Lillian and you see that she is now alone and Zephyr is gone. But Sylvie,
now's your chance.
You see, Sylvie, that Lillian and Zephyr are talking before Zephyr leaves, and Lillian points towards the back of the building, which is a, you know that that is another way into the inn. And just with your 16 perception, you get the impression that they are potentially going to be watching both exits of the building.
Sylvie is going to kind of whisper to Ornan and Vagram and say, I think they might be surrounding the building. We should probably go see what they want. I'll go change out of my disguise first. And Sylvie will pop upstairs.
Perhaps they're just ensuring that nobody tries to infiltrate or interrupt us or something. I don't know. But I will go and speak with this Lillian and, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe she'll tell me a little bit about what is going on and we see where it goes from there.
Hey, Lillian, well, that's a nice boot. It would look really good across my throat. Is that a thing?
And I'd hate to leave Danan waiting too long, so I'll go and chat with her for a minute.
Well, very good. Okay, Sylvie, you go upstairs and you change your appearance. Ornan, you stepped up to Danan as Mogrim walks down to Lillian. Mogrim, as you walk down towards Lillian,
just
you pass...
totally passing Winston, who came in obviously to talk to you guys.
You pass right by Winston, and his hand kind of reaches out like to get your attention, and you walk by, and he kind of pulls it back, and he just kind of like watches you go. So we'll start with Ornan. Ornan, you walk up to Danan. She turns towards you and she says, "Oh, all right. I came to see if you were ready to go. If you still wanted to travel together, I told you
yes,
I'd meet you here.
I'd love to travel with you. I don't think we're quite ready. I think maybe first thing in the morning, we'll be ready to hit the road."
Well, that works for me. Are you going by river? Are you going by road? Or are you going cross country?
Well, we haven't decided quite yet, so perhaps you can be part of that discussion. I think I mentioned, and you know, I know it got caused a little bit of offense, but we've got some animals that will be carrying us, and so I think on the road or across the country is probably what we'll end up doing.
Well, that was Vapluo, and that was she has more extreme views on nature than I do myself. I understand the need to use beasts of burden from time to time, as long as we are respectful and as long as we don't mistreat them. Tomorrow morning, you say?
Yes. We can perhaps meet at the gate on the east side of the town.
She looks around the inn and she's like, I think I might just stay here tonight.
All right. Ornan will wave over the innkeeper and put down a gold coin and say, a night for the lovely dwarf and lady.
The innkeeper takes your coin and says, "Oh, of course. Close to yours?"
Well, that's not what I was. I mean, Ornan blushes like deeply. Yeah. That's not what I intended.
Danan picks up on it right away and she says, "As close as you can manage." And then she winks at you. You recall having met the Druid Circle earlier today and meeting her earlier today. Gosh, a lot of happened today.
They're all freaky.
you remember that she...
They're all
she,
about free love, baby.
Well, she came across as feisty. I think that she was feisty. She has this sort of no-nonsense demeanor. Not like Lillian, who just has this kind of pissed-off demeanor like all the time. Danan just seems like she does not take crap from anybody. Anyway, so Danan will just kind of get her key and she'll says, "I'll go make myself at home and then I think I'm going to get some dinner." And then she moves out of the common room. Mogrim, you walk right past Winston and you walk towards Lillian. She is standing there kind of leaning up against the wall by the front door. She's like, "Can I help you?"
"I think that you could, yes. I saw you... standing there, and I, of course, remember seeing you at the house, the mansion for the Silent Voice, and I thought to myself,
okay, you see that she winces when you say the name out loud, and she leans forward, like really quickly, putting her hand on your shoulder, and she says, "Keep your voice down."
Okay, I apologize. I am intoxicated by your presence, m'lady. And,
as I recall, you did really well with a persuasion check last time you interacted with her. Okay. All right. She kind of leans back and she's like, "Just be careful what you say in public." And then she kind of motions back towards Winston behind you and she says, "You should know he fulfilled his end. Your horses and dogs are here. He even got them armor."
"What a wonderful thing."
"But you don't get them until you deliver on your promise."
"Ah, yes. About that, I think that there is something we yet need to accomplish, but it's in the works. You know, I promise you that there will be...
I've got my best people on it.
We got my best people that are working on it all the time. But, you know, all of this talk, you know, it really dries out my mouth. Would you like to get a drink with me at the bar over there?
Make
they
a
have
persuasion
some very
check.
Lovely non-urine-based drinks that I think you would enjoy."
Oh my gosh. I think that Sylvie, you come down right now to see this conversation happening between Magram and Lillian now as yourself, and you see Winston kind of watching it, and he is kind of like cringing, not knowing what's being said, but just realizing that he was going to be a lot more diplomatic than Lillian is. But you can see that this conversation is happening. Make your persuasion check, Magram.
Come on, let's go. A 4.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. She says, I think you should think less about drinking and more about fulfilling your promise.
Tough lady. Okay. I can
and she leans back
thing.
Against the wall.
To be fair, like a child was kidnapped.
No problem. I can do this. And I reach into my satchel and I pull out a small handful of baby powder and clap my hands together and then smear it onto my neck and stuff. Be like, do you much go for the baby powder?
Oh my god.
I think it has a very pleasant scent.
As that is happening, Sylvie, you come back down. You see Ornan and Magram are each having these conversations. Actually, Ornan's has concluded at this point, but you guys all at the same time kind of wonder, I wonder how Guy's doing. And we are going to jump across the city to the Black Dog Cafe. Yes, exactly. All the way
we
over
to see how the master actually works.
What? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. All right.
Guy, you arrive outside of the Black Dog Cafe. As you recall, it enters kind of like Cheers, where you have to go down some stairs. The actual entrance is below street level. It's here on the dock part of town. You can actually see like some of the taller masts of some of these ships, these larger like fishing vessels that are out there on the lake. You can actually see some of the masts and some of the sails, some flags whipping in the wind. And you can see that the rain is about to start right as you arrive here at the Black Dog Cafe. You go down the stairs and enter in.
Yeah. And I'm going to go and sit at the bar and wait for anybody I recognize to come in, because I could potentially, you know, have a date with Annalise, but I'm also waiting for Professor Ironspark, because he was also potentially going to bring me some information. And if I don't see anybody there right away, hey, Professor Ironspark. I see you him there right away.
Yeah, you go and you order your drink, and as you do, you see that this gnome comes hustling in. He's got a blue and white robe on, but he's got this cloak pulled up over his head. It's green. It's kind of the same kind of cloak that you saw the other archivists wearing at the Prolean Archive. But he comes hustling in to the Black Dog Cafe, looks around, and then sees you. You can see that now he is covered in rain. It started raining and it started pouring. In fact, you can even hear the sounds of you can hear the sounds of some thunder outside as a storm is brewing. And Professor Ironspark comes running up to you and he goes, oh, hey there. What's this guy going to do? Give me a second.
Oh, it's Professor Ironspark.
Yeah. Well, hey, Guy. I can't do it. I cannot do it. It's so bad. He says, oh, I was hoping I'd see you here. And he comes walking up to you. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't stay long.
Oh, that's fine. I wasn't expecting anything tonight. I just spoke with you earlier today.
I wanted to tell you that I found some more information about Cohen's Crossing. I knew I recognized it from somewhere, but... The map I showed you earlier, it was a very old map. I don't know if you remember that. It was a very old map.
Yes.
The map is from probably 50 or 60 years ago. So I did some more research on to Cohen's Crossing, and I realized why it probably hadn't been heard of so much. It's because the name has changed. Now it's called Diona's Bridge.
Oh, Diona's Bridge. Okay. That's good. That's good information.
Make a history check on that.
Ooh, history. That is a 14.
Okay, I will say you have heard of Diona's Bridge, not because it is this massive city or anything. It's still relatively small, but you've heard that the bridge has grown over the years. It is now this large stone bridge that spans the river, and the majority of the town is actually built on the bridge. So you have houses built into the bridge, and you still have like houses on either side of the landing of the bridge, but you have heard of this, you know, it's supposedly like a beautiful town. Seems to be pretty well off as well. It says, Diona's Bridge is what it's called now. Hey, you're talking to my guy all wrong. I'm turning into Christopher Walken here.
I was going to say, it started to sound a little bit like Mr. Mackey to me, like,
gee, kidding, guy.
I was going to say, you do it again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Yeah, thank you. Are you his dad? What if I am? Thank you, Joe Dirt. So he hands you this slip of paper that says Diona's Bridge on it. And he says, I hope this helps you with your search.
This is wonderful information. Anything else you find, if you could just put into a file for me. I'm actually going to be leaving town, but I'll probably swing back through in a few days or maybe a month or two.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can set your things aside. It'll be at the archive waiting for you. And again, thank you for your donation. And then he turns around, and as he turns around, you see
Prelate Annalise comes walking into the Black Dog Cafe.
I didn't get stood up. Okay.
The prelate comes walking over towards you.
You sound way too happy about that. I'm not sure it's something we should be excited about.
Well, Guy has no idea what just happened with you and all the hubbub at the cathedral or the temple, or what happened with you escaping the Inquisition. So he's kind of in this, you know, oblivious, everything's going according to plan, you know,
must be nice.
Phase. Yeah.
As a prelate Annalise walks in, you see that she notices you. She sees Professor Ironspark. He says, have a great day. And he turns around and he sees prelate Annalise and says, prelate Annalise, great to see you again. And then he moves past her and out the door as Prelate Annalise comes walking in. So, Guy, I need you to make two checks, perception and insight.
Perception and insight? Oh, that's the perception. That's the insight. Now to see what I rolled. Oh, I got an 18 perception and a 16 insight.
Very, very good. Okay, with your perception score, you can see that, again, she's wearing like a thick cloak to keep the rain off. But with your 18 perception, you also see that underneath the cloak at her waist, there is something on her belt. And you, being a warrior and having a sword or a scepter, you recognize that she is more than likely armed. You can't tell what the weapon is, but there's something hanging at her waist under her cloak. So Annalise comes walking in, and then with your insight check of 16, she looks around the room and sees you sitting at the bar, and she gives you a smile. With your insight check of 16, I am going to make a roll. See, because Matt, you know things that Guy does not know.
Yeah.
You see that she is trying to look nonchalant, and you see a tightness around her eyes, and that the smile seems slightly forced as she comes walking in.
Okay.
But she walks up to you, and she says, Ross Lacrosse, I was hoping you'd show and
awful
not
name.
Stand
I'm sorry. That's such a bad
I
name.
I thought that was his name.
I was waiting
Ross
to see what she would say.
Boss.
I was waiting to see what she would say. If she didn't say Ross, if she called me Guy, I would have been like, oh. But
she knows you as Ross Lacrosse. She says, she looks around the room. She's like, do you want to sit at the bar or do you want a table?
Oh, I'd love a booth. They're actually very private here. I don't know if you noticed, but there's these walls and it's nice and cozy.
She actually is going to, you know what? She actually kind of looks around the room and with your insight check that you already made, you sense that she can feel something about this building as well. I think some of you felt it last time you were here. There's just something about it that kind of makes it private. It's not like an overt like spell or something like, oh, there's a rune of silence or something like that. There's just something slightly mystical about this place.
Is this place known for its steak sandwiches?
No.
Okay, I was reminded of the bar from the Wizard
right.
of Chicago.
Yes, Dresden Files, yes.
Yes.
Yes, no, this is not whatever that bar was called. I can't remember. No, this is not that place, but similar vibe. Yeah,
but
I will
order a steak sandwich.
Okay. No, but similar vibe. There's just something about it, something that makes it private and feel kind of safe. Although, Guy, I don't know if you feel safe seeing that your date is armed and that she seems to be hiding something.
It makes it more fun. I'm also armed and I'm also hiding something.
That's true. All right. She finds a corner booth, and she goes and has a seat waiting for you to come. As you go and sit over there with her, a servant comes up and takes your order, writes down steak sandwich for you.
Bugger came and sat down next to us.
Hello.
A servant comes and takes your order. You order a steak sandwich, and she orders she orders a steak sandwich as well. So, Ross Lacrosse, why don't you tell me about yourself?
Let's see. There's really not much to tell.
You're not a normal follower of Aeona. You were fairly clear with that during our last conversation. I've never seen you at the church before.
Yeah, I don't want to... I hope it's not, like, a deal breaker, but I'm not really a religious person. You know, when I was a child, my parents were craftspeople, merchants. So we said our prayers to, like, Joaquin and all, but we really weren't a family that was big on worship or ritual.
She kind of nods. With your insight of 16, you can see that she's listening, but she's not paying as close of attention as maybe you'd think she would. She says, "Oh, very, very interesting. So, funny thing. There was a right after you left, there was a little incident at the church. But I'm sure everything's in hand now at this point."
Oh, really? What happened?
Oh, you know, occasionally we get people who come to the church who want to just cause problems, and today was a similar day. But don't worry, I'm sure that they were caught.
Oh. Well, great.
Does Guy at this point suspect that this has anything to do with him?
I think he suspects it has to do with Sylvie.
Okay.
And the fact that she said she expects they're caught means she doesn't know that Sylvie's caught. So there's hope there. I was hoping to get a chance to write a message to Mogrim, but everybody showed up so quick. Everybody's so prompt to their dates.
Annalise was right on time.
Does that kind of thing happen often, where people come in and try to disturb your worship?
Oh, not normally, but no, this time was different. Let's see. I heard that... interestingly enough, there was a loose dog who came in and caused quite the ruckus. Apparently, he was incredibly cute. But I'm not really
a dog person.
Ooh, red flag.
We're gonna have this conversation, and then we're going to make some deception checks, Guy, because you are aware kind of what's going on. But she says, yes, and then I was in the process of getting changed to come and meet you when suddenly somebody burst in to the dormitory, and when I confronted her, she actually used some arcane powers to try to conceal herself and get away.
That doesn't seem like a very smart idea. I mean, if I were her, I'd be absolutely terrified.
Make a deception check now at this point, and she's going to make an insight check against your deception.
Oh, Guy got an 8, a nat 1 for an 8.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. Well, she rolled a 13.
Oof.
Now she has a negative 5.
She got a 14 insight. She sees you talking. She sees your reactions. You can see her look kind of change a little bit. She goes from playing, pretending like she is having a pleasant conversation, and a hand reaches out across the table, and it grabs your hand. The hand is wearing a glove, and the glove has some metal plates on it. She is wearing a gauntlet. And she grabs your hand, and she says, I find it very odd that I would encounter you at the Perlian Archive, followed by you at the Church of Aeona, followed by arcane power defiling our church. It just seems too coincidental. Ross LaCrosse.
Well, you got me. It's not coincidental. I mean, at least the first two parts are not coincidental. I was looking for you.
I've loved you
been looking for you. I just didn't know it was you.
This is getting kind of tense. Here, let me, if you'll permit me, I heard this joke the other day, and
she says, I don't think it's time for jokes.
No, you'll like this one. I promise.
She does not let go of your hand.
I will say, so there's this treasure chest, and it has these big teeth and a tongue, and oops, it's a mimic. Sorry. Right?
Classic.
Is that how it goes? I mean, you remember, right? You heard the joke before.
She is squeezing your hand, and then you feel her hand start to slacken. But she keeps her hand where it is. Where? I have heard that joke before? Who told you that I have heard that joke before?
No one had to tell me you heard that joke before. I saw what you were studying in the library.
But I did not put that joke into any of the research because it was ridiculous. Hilarious, but ridiculous. How did you know that joke?
Because you're not the only one who dreams of Oak Road.
She, as she was getting a little more angry, she started gripping your hand again. And then when you say Oak Road, she lets her hand loosen up and then she slides back. She says, what do you know of Oak Road?
I don't know much about Oak Road itself, but suffice it to say that I, too, have seen through the eyes of one of these past lives. I saw the look of joy and elation on the face of that little girl when James was telling his jokes, and then I saw this blank look of no feeling when the dagger pierced her heart.
Which was no one's fault.
Or that she totally had coming. One of the two.
Full call me, low call me.
Don't get me wrong, I am incredibly attracted to you. But I sought you out because there is something bigger than both of us.
She looks at you and she says, I have seen through Peter's eyes. Peter, the merchant.
The one who offered James, like, a recurring gig, right?
Yes.
A residency?
Yes. But I could feel him as well, and Peter thought James was ridiculous. Which I guess was...
I think that was the point, yeah.
Peter was planning on using James and then throwing him away. Peter is not a good man, but I see through his eyes 3 times now. But Peter still lives.
I think they may all, honestly. I feel that James is still around somewhere, doing something horrible. James is no longer a good man either.
I mean, he was a clown, so was he ever a good man?
As you say these things, you see that she sits back. She starts to bite her lip. You see for the, like, instead of her being, like, focused somewhere else like she was, where she was pretending to be paying attention, now she is totally lost in her own thoughts as she bites her bottom lip, thinking. You can hear her kind of talking to herself, just little words here and there, saying things like, Peter, what am I supposed to do?
Well, while she's thinking this, while she's doing this, I will say just to her, are we cursed? Are we destined for the pyre, for the dreams that we have? I can't control this.
She reaches into her cloak and pulls out a necklace, and she says, "No, we are not cursed. This is not a curse. I cannot be cursed for doing nothing. I have lived my vows completely, 100%. This is not a curse. This must be a calling from Iona herself. I was meant to have these dreams, to do something about them. That must be it. I can't be cursed." You can see that she is not grasping at straws, but she is trying to make sense of what is happening to her.
Have you spent very much time outside of Redlam?
Yes, I'm not from here originally.
Okay, so you've been outside of your cloister, and you've seen that shit happens to everyone. Not everybody gets what they deserve, right?
Of course.
Yeah, but not me. I'm special.
But I'm the main character.
I get that you're trying to make sense based on your faith of what's going on. Why would I, a non-believer, have similar dreams?
She shrugs. She says, "Iona works in mysterious ways." No, she doesn't. Maybe Iona gave you this blessing to aid me. Maybe you are to be an instrument in aiding me.
Damn, this bitch really does have a main character complex.
Don't you know you're an NPC?
No, she does not. What do you mean to do about these dreams?
I mean to investigate them. I mean to find out more. This has become somewhat of a calling for me. But I don't think it's from Iona, and I don't feel any religious zeal toward them. I feel like there's something dark, something sinister. Something was awakened in that crypt. And I mean to find out what happened and what happened in the aftermath.
I agree. Whatever happened in that crypt beneath that temple of Kelimvor needs to be put back. She looks at you and she says, "Where will you go?"
I don't even know. My last dream was in a theater somewhere. But I know it's not here because I visited the theater and I put on an amazing play.
She looks at you, she squints. She's like, "That's where I recognized you from. You walked on stage.
I was the chamber pot salesman."
Yeah, you walked on stage saying, "I'm a chamber pot salesman," and you punched some skinny guy in the face and said, "Stop eating my brain."
Almost ate my brain.
Yeah, no, some skinny guy. He ran off. No, I'm kidding. That's not what she says. Your guys' dream was really, really delusional.
Yeah. I know that it's not in this city. I know that James isn't here, so I continue my search.
Well, I know that Peter is on the coast to the south. I imagine he's either in Grunfort or Fort Westland. I heard him speaking, and he mentioned the fort, but he didn't say it like any old fort. He said it like a place, like what you would call it, like the fort, right? It was very definitive, and the only places that I know of are Grunfort and Fort Westland that have that feel to them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
I feel, Ross LaCrosse, that you and I have been brought together, whether you think it's Iona or not, for a reason. I feel that we need to work together to solve this.
Just point of order, I brought us together. This was my will that brought us together.
Actions can be guided sometimes by a very sly hand.
And sometimes that hand is holding a torch and burning people in the town square.
Make a perception check. Or an insight check. Either one.
Gee rolled a 14 perception.
You see that she kind of shrinks back a little bit from that. With your 14, you see a little bit of... The only word I can think of is sincerity in her eyes. Not all of us like the burnings.
Is there anything that can be done to stop them? Or is it, I don't like it, but it's a necessary evil? Because I want you to know, I don't know you. and I don't know what your feelings are, but I do know what I have seen of the worship of Aeona has left charred bodies throughout Via Severia. Bodies of children. Bodies of people who've done nothing wrong, their only crime being that they have access to some power that's not approved of by the Church of Aeona. And I cannot get behind that. So when you say that I was guided by Aeona, you might understand why I take some offense.
Aeona is powerful. Aeona is vast. Aeona is cleansing and purging and perfecting. Now, I personally do not approve of the burnings. However, I am a prelate, and my say is not as high as Archprelate Oswald. We don't all agree with everything that comes down from... Oh gosh, let me see. Give me a second.
Cardinal St. Louis. St. Louis Cardinal.
His lordship.
She says, not all of us agree with all of the words that come down from Port Brezeton either. You guys would know Port Brezeton is a large city on the Mariseth Sea in the Rovian Barony, far to the south. You guys would also know that the Rovian Barony is the one barony out of the 8 baronies that is not actually ruled over by a baron, but is actually ruled over by the leader of the Church of Aeona. It's a strange, unique circumstance.
Like a big Vatican City.
Yeah, basically Vatican City, and it's ruled over by the Costarian. So the Costarian is like the highest ranking Aeonan here in Via Severia. There is one rank higher called the High Costarian, but that's like the leader of the whole Church of Aeona in all of the world, not just in Via Severia. So yeah, she said, we do not all agree with everything that comes down from the Costarian. Personally, I think that we should spend more time trying to help people fight the urge to use powers that are beyond them and to control their appetites and their urges, then burn them when they exercise them.
That would be a vast improvement. You know, my first night, I came in from Berograd. My first night here, there was a woman burned on the pyre. And I don't know why I was expecting things to be different, but this place is just... it's just the worst.
She nods and she says, you know, I still hear her scream sometimes.
Rumor is there'll be more screams soon.
She...
Is that talking about, like, getting her in bed? Like, screams of...
Oh my god.
I mean, are you a nun? Like, is there, like, did you make those vows of, you know... never enjoying the pleasures of the flesh?
And can I convince you to break those vows?
Cut back to the Oaken Throne, and Magrim is just watching Lillian from afar, just like, just imagining. I don't know. I was going to talk about boots on his throat again. That seems a little bit... Oh my gosh. Is some of my fetish like just, coming out or something?
I know. Your kink is showing, Paul.
Yuck my yum. Don't yuck my yum.
I'm not yucking it. I'm just saying.
No, I'm
sorry. I'll yuck your yum. Don't worry. It's a little... I love yucking yums.
Yucking my yum is my kink.
Oh my gosh. She looks at you and she says, Ross, I feel drawn to this quest, this mission, whatever you want to call it, this calling. I feel drawn to it. I would travel with you.
Oh God!
If you really do mean to seek an end to the horror that was awoken beneath that temple in Oak Road.
Just so we're clear, you said horror with two syllables, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, if you're serious, I'll consider it. But here's the thing: when you're out there, traveling between the cities on your own or seeking information wherever you can find it, you're going to have to do business with people that are a bit unsavory in ways that you wouldn't be comfortable, but someone like me is completely comfortable. people make use of these powers that you say are forbidden a lot more freely in the circles you'd have to travel to investigate this mystery.
She thinks about it for a second. She says, I understand, but I feel it's what I must do.
Guys, I'm trying to feel it out. I don't want her to come with us, but I want to sow a seed of maybe we're not all so bad.
Yeah, sowing seeds.
Although if she traveled with us, she'd be traveling with the person who stole all her research.
And the person who spoke bombed her.
Yes.
Yes, and inadvertently caused the death of a bunch of her friends.
Yeah, I don't think we should travel with her. That's so,
here's the deal. They were not necessarily, well, I guess you guys did kill, they did kill some of the acolytes too. Yeah, some of the Hemnalites, some of the church workers, yeah.
Serena didn't kill any of those guys.
Some of them like, I ring the bells. I clean the pipes from the pipe organ. Die, die.
They came at us with clubs.
I sweep up the rice after weddings.
You son of a...
Okay. As you're sitting there talking with this woman, you had mentioned earlier that it seemed like there was going to be another burning soon. And she kind of shakes her head and she says, if I had my way, if this helps ease your conscience, if I had my way, there would be no more burnings. And the young woman who is to stand trial would instead be counseled and would be taught, as opposed to just burning her out of this existence.
Oh, it's a young woman. I thought for some reason I'd heard that it was a young man.
Make a deception check.
That's a deception check to make it feel like I don't know what's going on, and hopefully she'll give me a little bit more information.
Okay. She got a 14.
I got a 25.
Okay. She kind of sits back. She goes, no. A 16-year-old girl. And you can see that she looks a little bit sad as she's saying this.
Oh, she's got to be terrified. Sitting alone in some dark dungeon under your temple.
She looks at you and she says, she is. She is terrified.
What can we do about this? You and me, right now.
She says, the temple is on high alert right now. Locked down.
Okay, that tells me, Paul, just FYI, everybody listening, that tells Guy that there is a dungeon there, they just didn't find it. That she is at the temple, not at like a second location.
Okay.
But surely you have access places.
I do. Would you get this girl out of the Temple of Iona? Would you set her free so she doesn't face the fires?
I don't know, but it sure seems like the right thing to do, doesn't it? You want to counsel her. But if that's not an option, what is the better option? Death or escape?
Make a persuasion check with advantage.
Okay.
Persuasion?
I'm not wielding the scepter.
But you still get advantage, though.
Okay. That's a 23.
She says no. No, I can access the temple. And I can't let her death be on my conscience. I can't do it anymore. I cannot stand by and watch people burn. I have stood by and I have watched 6 people burn in the last 8 months. I will not see another one. Not a 16-year-old girl. I can help you get into the temple if you can get her out.
Do I believe her?
Make an insight check.
That's only a 5.
You see tears in her eyes, but you find that she's hard to read.
Dude, these stakes feel so high. Mogrim is like sitting right there next to you guys eating popcorn like, dude.
When you said these stakes feel so high, I was like, oh yeah, my steak sandwich. And I started eating it.
Yes, that's what I thought you were talking about too.
Oh my God. I will say,
let's do it. But don't lose your nerve. Because once this happens, there's no going back.
I understand. I will be leaving this place with you, and we will hunt down Oak Road, and we will cure this malady that has been set upon this world.
Guy, I cannot believe you're going to agree to travel with this acolyte.
I never said I was going to travel with her.
But what I will say is, one step at a time. First, the girl. And second, depending on how that goes, there may be too much heat for us to stay together. Or we can potentially split up. You're a powerful follower of Aeona. Don't you have some kind of abilities to communicate long distances?
I believe... What level spell is sending?
Yes,
the third level?
Yes, belief. I think that's how it's done.
what level spell is sending? Is it a third level spell?
Lisan al-Ghaib.
Lisan al-Ghaib. Oh, I loved that movie so much.
I did too. It was amazing.
What movie is that?
Who's looking up sending?
I am. Okay. That's a third level. It's a third level spell. Oh, I haven't seen it yet. It's a third level spell. She says, I have the ability to send messages long distances. Yes, I can send messages.
Well, then that's also an option. We could cover more ground and we could stay in contact that way. If we do something and we're spotted, two people traveling together is pretty conspicuous. We might have to split up, take on aliases, change our looks, that kind of thing.
You mean you'll have to change your name from Ross LaCrosse?
I love the name Ross LaCrosse, but if it came down to it, I would adopt a pseudonym.
She says, I can get you into the temple. We need to do it soon.
Then let's go now.
Now. Okay.
I have a friend that I would like to collect first.
Okay, let me... I will go back to the temple, and I will send you a message. She looks kind of around the room, just kind of trying to gauge. She says, I will send you a message in 2 hours, giving you instructions on how I can get you into the temple.
All right. And I will go see if I have a couple of connections here. I'm going to go see who I can find, who I might be able to bring along to help in this mission, quest, thing.
Thank you. Now, where are we going? She does say, I will also have all of my things packed, and when this is over, I will be leaving this church as well. I will start my crusade. Not a typical Aeonan crusade, but a crusade nonetheless. And she stands up from the booth. She holds out a hand for a handshake.
I'll shake it.
Okay. She shakes your hand and she says,
Cat's finger of death.
She says, inflict pain. She says, Ross LaCrosse, I am glad that we have met. I feel Aeona is smiling down on this meeting. And then she stands up and she walks out of the Black Dog Cafe. As she's walking out, she turns back around and she says, 2 hours.
2 hours.
Ross LaCrosse. I feel like I need to prep her for stuff, but we'll just roll with it.
You're gonna have to be cool with good. Some real crazy stuff real quick.
I was literally just gonna say everybody needs to get a lot cooler real quick.
All right, we are gonna jump back now to the Oaken Throne.
Before I go back to the Oaken Throne, I will just say that I immediately will pull out my book and write a message to Mogrim.
Okay, as you write that message to Mogrim, what does it say as we go back to Mogrim at the Oaken Throne, who is just kind of sitting at a table, I imagine just kind of eating some food and just watching Lillian from afar. She is standing by the front door, just kind of sitting there leaning back. She's got like one knee kind of up as her foot is resting on the wall. She's got her arms folded. She's got a thin rapier at her waist. She cuts a very dashing figure.
Oh, he is like drawn in and just smiling, like this kind of seductive grin on his face, like, oh yeah.
And sitting at the table with you is Winston, who is in the middle of saying, so I managed to get what you needed. I actually got two horses trained for war.
Uh-huh.
They're barded with chains, that's great.
Yeah.
I also have two dogs
Super
who
great.
They have barding as well. And I wasn't sure dogs, how yes. much you had to travel.
They're a
bargain. How much you needed for travel.
Oh.
But I also got you a one more horse to carry baggage, a draft horse with a pack saddle.
Oh, yeah.
And you suddenly, as you're sitting there, you get a message, Magram, from Guy. And it says,
"Was separated from Sylvie. Everything's all right. I may have an in to the prison, but it's complicated. I'm on my way. Is Sylvie with you?"
You hear back, "Step on me, mommy."
it's just mental images that are pouring through right now. No,
very well. Travel safe. Sylvie is here. She was compromised, but she got away.
Okay, all right. And then I'm just going to close up my book and pay my tab and eat the rest of her steak sandwich and head back over to the Yoga Throne.
Gotcha. So as Guy is moving back out into the rain in the dark, Winston asks Ornan and Sylvie and Magram, do you want to see the mounts?
Oh, I'd love to get to know the dogs. Of course.
Yes.
I've never ridden a dog before. That sounds exciting.
Oh, you'll get the hang of it right quick. It's natural to us gnomes.
I had them delivered here to the stable here at the Oaken Throne, so they're just right outside. And then he kind of looks over at Lillian, standing by the front door. He's like, "They're here to make sure... I mean, I trust you, but they're here to make sure that you don't just take the horses and run and not keep up your end of the bargain. You understand, I'm sure."
"Oh, of course.
We would never..."
He takes you out the front door and over to a building that's kind of next to the Oaken Throne. It's a long building, low roof. The doors, it's not really doors. It's got like a gate that opens. And inside you see that there are 10 stalls and some of them are full of animals. You see that there are multiple horses, but he shows you 3 horses. And then there is one more stall that has 2 dogs in it. So there are these 2 like regal looking vicious war horses. They are thick neck and broad back. They hold themselves very straight. As you approach, they kind of start to whicker and ears lay back. They are ready for battle. You also see that there's this other horse that is a little bit larger than that, has kind of the hairy, they call them fetlocks, right? Like a Clydesdale or like
asking the wrong person.
Yeah, no horse girlies here.
Yeah, Guy is the horse girl, not Matt.
anyway, and then you also see these dogs. So, Ornan, why don't you tell me about the dog that Winston got you to ride? As you walk into this stable and you see this dog that is perfect for you, what would that dog look like?
Ornan is just like immediately in love with one of the dogs and runs right up to it. It looks like a sheepdog, real fluffy, like white fur, kind of, you know, spilling over the barding. So it's got that armor on it, but this just really fluffy fur kind of like spilling over the metal and the chainmail. Got a cute little saddle. It does have brown ears, but the rest of it is all white. And on the little armor collar, it says Sadie.
Oh, cute. Is it a sheepdog like the shaggy dog where it's going to punch some guy and jump out of a window? Have you guys seen that? Have you guys seen that clip?
The Tim Allen one or the original?
No, the original. It's not even the original. It's like instead of the shaggy dog, it's like the shaggy attorney or something like that. Anyway, you have to look up shaggy dog punch, and it is the most amazing piece of film you will ever see.
Wow.
Yeah, it's something like the shaggy DA or something like that. But yeah, at one point you can tell it's a guy in a costume who punches somebody and then slides down a rope out of a window.
What?
It's the most amazing thing ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So very cool. Oh, very cute. So Sadie is going to be your riding dog. And you see that Sadie is also trained for battle. She's not just a riding dog. She's also, she's a war dog, basically. Sylvie, what do you see as you come in and you see the dog that you'll be riding?
I imagine it's a little kind of like corgi that's sort of the traditional black and white, but then has like a long curly tail, kind of like they do when they're not clipped.
Okay.
and yeah, just kind of short, fat, pretty adorable, wiggling its butt.
Also a war dog, but somehow so, so cute.
And its name is Blood Snoot.
Blood Snoot.
Jeez.
For the Bloodhound.
Yes, yes, I got that. Oh my gosh, that's so good. All right. Mogrim, you see one of these horses that you'll be riding. What does your horse look like? What's your horse's name?
I need to think of a name. Give me like 2 seconds to kind of think of a name really quickly.
Not a problem. You can type that into random name generator. And Guy, you show up to the Oaken Throne. You saw your allies come walking out into the stable, so you follow them in, and you see them looking at these horses. You also notice, Guy, as you come walking into the stable, that Lillian has followed the party out, and she is kind of standing inside the stable by the entry, and she again has taken up her posture of leaning against the wall, one foot on the wall, arms folded, just watching Wilhelm and associates as they are looking over their new mounts. Guy, you see your horse. What do you see?
So my horse is it's got like brown fur. And it has the, it has like the black mane and like the black socks and like black tail and like the white crest on its nose.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what kind of horse that is, but it's a pretty one.
Yeah.
If this was on like Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, it would have the long mane and the long tail.
Oh, nice. Love it. You wouldn't like do like the war braids like they used to do, where it's like the space buns.
Oh, I'll have a chance to braid her hair. So.
Okay, fantastic. What's her name?
I haven't decided yet, but I have decided that the draft horse is named Cinnamon.
Okay.
Oh. And we're gonna call her Cinna. Cinnamon.
Oh, yes. You see that the draft horse is seems more docile, more mild than these war horses who just hold themselves with this almost like this pent up energy, ready to lash out or race into battle at the slightest twitch of the rein.
Okay, my horse's name is Duchess.
Duchess, beautiful. All right. And Jordan, did Mogrim decide on the name for his horse?
Yes. So to describe his war horse, it's got this glorious kind of light tan cream colored coat with like this luscious long mane. And it is, I threw this into ChatGPT. It's Stormhoof the Thundermare. And
I love it.
Mogrim walks up to this just like muscles rippling, towering creature, and he's like, "Doesn't have anything in black. I mean, it's fine. It is. It looks like a nice horse, but it just would have been cooler in black. That's all I'm saying."
Oh my gosh, that's nice. So funny. Oh gosh. All right. Awesome. All right. You guys now see all these horses. You see that there's barding. It's not on the horses right now, and their saddles are not mounted either. You can get them ready relatively quickly, but right now they're here. They are yours. Once you complete your promise to go and rescue Evelyn.
This is the best reward ever, by the way.
Yeah.
Honestly, though.
I'm so glad. Awesome. All right. So Winston says, I'm going to, I'll leave these here. Lillian and Zephyr will kind of keep an eye on things, but he holds out his hand to shake whoever will take it.
Ornan's hands are busy scratching Sadie's ears.
Oh, gotcha.
Sylvie will shake his hand. Sylvie feels bad that everybody walked past him.
Guy is in heaven, absolute heaven. He loves all the horses here.
He shakes your hand, Sylvie, and he says, I have a good feeling about you guys, and thank you for helping out where you can, and good luck. And then he turns around and he leaves the stable. This now gives you all a little bit of privacy to kind of fill everybody in on everything that's happened.
I will share everything.
The first response is Ross LaCrosse.
It's a fantastic name. It gives this air of like old money. Somebody who would laugh like this.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Ross LaCrosse is gonna make you jump, jump.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
A young, lovable, huggable type of guy.
Oh my gosh. Awesome.
Ornan will divvy out 100 gold to everybody.
Sylvie will tell Guy, I really don't like the idea of traveling with someone so close to the temple of Aeona. That scares me.
I agree. I agree 100%.
I hope she can get us in, but I don't want to ride with her.
My concern is this. She could be an ally, or we could make an eternal enemy with how things go tonight.
It is an interesting position. We have, perhaps you're right, there is a chance here that we could turn somebody into a powerful ally, but the risks here are huge as well.
I agree 100%. It would be great to have like a happy medium where we just say, thanks for the help, we should split up and maintain a distance. But I don't know if that's going to be...
But how often does that work? Am I right? You know, huh?
Could we send her on a mission somewhere else? Maybe something that's a real mission, but a distraction?
No, she mentioned that Peter might be on the southern coast in that one of those fort cities. So maybe she heads that way while we head east. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to double cross her, because I think that she could become a powerful enemy, potentially BBEG level.
We definitely don't want to make our own BBEG.
Ooh. I do not like those acronyms.
I think that you guys would recognize, and I'm not trying to sway anything anyway, I'm just kind of pointing out something, that you all found each other instantly. And she has been dealing with this now for a couple of weeks, and now has finally found somebody who shares this. And just like you guys felt drawn to each other and have now stayed together, mostly because of this initial tie, she is feeling that now to you guys as well, or to at least to Ross LaCrosse.
Yeah, we don't really want these kinds of hoes on our team here. You got a lot to think about.
You're exactly right, and I'm not saying that, you know, if like a guy was like, "Hey, I just broke out of prison because of this mission that I saw in my brain," and by the way, I'm a mass murderer or something. Hey, you wouldn't want to hang out with them either. But I'm just saying that that is kind of the mentality, that is the drive that Annalise has currently.
Yeah, but a church lady could be a real damper on some of our partying.
Yeah. And I mean, Sylvie would not want her to know about the hive. And I think that if we're going to take these people, that's where we were talking about getting them to eventually.
So in the explanation, what I would have said was, explaining how everything went in my conversation with her, I would say that I purposely left things vague, that I said we would get her to her family. Like what I'm actually thinking, everyone, is if we could maybe... It might be pushing it, Sylvie, since you already caused a ruckus today. Is there a way that we could keep you kind of under wraps? I could make you invisible. I can do that one more time. I could make you invisible so you only come out if you absolutely need to. Then the rest of us could go in, and that way you'd also be there in case she double-crossed us. You could, come out and be like, bitch, bolt, bitch, or something.
I do kind of want to do that.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
I know, you almost did it when you caught her in her room.
I think we take her up on the offer to get us into the temple, but I think we keep somebody in reserve, but close by, along with us, but hidden.
I agree. I think that my face might be a little bit too... Even my body shape might be a little bit too recognizable. So invisibility might be a better way to go.
Dang, that body shape.
I know. If it curves, you'd be kicking.
That gnome is dummy thick.
Oh my gosh. I got super uncomfortable right there. I mean, you know, we can talk about somebody else like putting their boot on your throat, but I don't know. Too.
I'm okay with boots on throats, but I draw the line at talking about curves.
I think it's the two players talking about it together that makes me a little uncomfortable.
I would like to talk to my twin brother.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Oh, that was just
Hey, now let's go back to some.
Oh, gosh. All right. Okay. Very good. Well, and so you know that she told you she would send you a message at this point, probably about another hour. So if you guys wanted to take a short rest or something before the message came, that's also definitely a thing that can happen.
I would love to. And as part of that short rest, I'd want to go say goodbye to Ryla.
You dog.
Okay.
I don't know if anything. I have to rest. So I don't know if anything's going to happen.
That canteen. Jeez. All right.
Just to let her know that, like, hey, it's been awesome leaving tomorrow, and don't be a stranger if I see you again.
You know, if you want to ride the ghee train one more time.
By the way, now it's you want to play some Ross lacrosse. All right, you go find Ryla. That's not a problem. What does everybody else want to do?
One would like to look at the sulfur-smelling cloak.
Oh, okay. You're going to spend an hour looking at the sulfur-smelling cloak. Magrim, what were you going to do for the next hour?
I'm going to try and have one more pass at Lillian.
Okay. And Sylvie, what are you going to do?
Honestly, Sylvie's just kind of going to hang out and kind of be glad that she didn't die.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's just going to have a little bit of a drink and a chill out for the next hour or so.
I'll say that you, Sylvie, as you're down there in the common room having a drink and just kind of taking a break for a second, that Danan, that dwarven... druid, that she's down there too, and you guys get to talking, and you guys talk a little bit about just kind of traveling together. You get to know her a little bit more,
to travel with another girly pop.
But not all girly pops, just this girly pop, because not the one that I tried to bring into the party.
Well, that one was a priestess pop. I don't like those.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you spend some time with Dana, and you go ahead and get your benefits of a short rest. Magrim, I'm going to have you make just a quick persuasion check as you try to, to put some moves on to Lillian. You have basically, you have a success, and you have a failure. So I just want to kind of see where things land here. We'll say that this is best 2 out of 3. How does that sound?
I like those odds, yeah. He walks up and he's like, look, Lillian, I know that you're a woman of no nonsense, so I will cut straight to the chase. We could get some drinks and take some time and maybe, you know, bump the uglies. And he leans in, he's like, and they are very ugly.
Oh, God.
And, you know, maybe if we find that we hit it off, we can correspond a little bit and, you know, make it worth our while. What do you say to that? And I rolled a 7 for my persuasion check.
That checks out for bumping uglies.
And, you know, as you're talking, you see as she approaches, just with your passive insight, your passive perception, you see her kind of relax her guard a little bit. Oh, he's coming over to talk to me. And as you start talking, her shoulders get a little tighter. She just in the middle of your conversation turns around, steps outside into the rain, pulls her hood up, and is now standing outside. By the front door, no longer inside of the inn. Awesome.
Oh, man.
Okay. And then we've got Guy, you're trying to go find Ryla. So you have a conversation. You find her. She's just up in her room. She's actually, looks like she's getting ready to go on another trip. This one is heading back to Beograd, and it's going to be leaving in the morning.
So we'll be two ships parting in the night then.
She's like, yeah, that's kind of how I assumed it would be. It was fun.
It was fun, wasn't it? Maybe we'll cross paths again.
Maybe. I don't plan on doing this route forever.
All right. Well, I'll see you around then.
She leans in, gives you a little kiss on your cheek. She says, hopefully. And then she closes the door.
I cup a butt.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Some random guy's walking by and you cup his butt. You didn't say which butt you cup. All right. Okay, so Ornan, you spend some time looking at this cloak. It's kind of got this reddish brown fur on it. It's like a leather cloak. And as you are looking at it, you actually see this has some power in it. It looks like when you wear it, you can actually change your shape. It has like charges to basically cast polymorph on yourself, but you can only take on one shape, and that is the shape of a hellhound.
Whoa! Oh. Crazy.
Dope.
Okay.
Yes. The polymorph will last for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. You can use your bonus action to revert to your normal form, but you can only use it one time per day.
Okay. Cool.
That's epic.
So are you attuned to it then?
No, I'm going to offer that to the group if anybody else wants it.
Okay. All right. Very, very cool. Okay. And then as this kind of hour of, I don't know, like writing your last will and testament or whatever you guys are doing, you know, trying to get some play, suddenly Ross LaCrosse, you hear a message in your ear. And what it says is, "The doors of the church are locked, but I have left the eastern door unlocked. Find the pantry and the trap door, and then find the sub-basement." And if that was not 25 words, then the last thing that you hear is, "Be wary, high alert."
Okay. I'll say, "I'm on my way." In the coolest way possible. Like some kind of action hero.
Is that all you say? 4 words. You have 25 to do, but you're just going to give her 4 words. That's fine, if that's what you want to do.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Thanks, babe.
I'm on my way.
Okay, so I will say, I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Question mark.
I'm on my way.
Send me on my way.
Send me on my way.
That is one of the most fun songs to do for karaoke, and I'm surprised how many people have never heard it before.
Oh, Messiah. What is happening?
Okay. So here's what I'll say.
I'm on my way. Don't worry.
Be happy.
My team is super stealthy and would never be caught.
I'll say,
discretion and stealth
is my middle name.
It's Ross. Stealth.
Ross. Yeah. Discretion and stealth, like Ross.
Your name will stay out of everything.
And then that's it. Last minute preparations. Anything else you guys want to do?
I think Margaret would just say, look, going into this, we should maybe make sure that we have a good exit plan so that way, if we have to flee, we can do it quickly and efficiently.
Do you think we could convince Liliana to take the horses and go with Danon outside the city and we can meet them there? That way we can, if we need to, we can make a very quick exit and head out tonight.
That might be safer.
It might not be a bad idea.
All right, Margrim, go convince her. I know you have a way with her.
All right, you know, don't twist my arm. I'll go talk to her again.
I will go with Margrim to offer assistance.
Ornan will go to Dana and let her know that the plan is going to change.
Yeah, so will Sylvie, since we're girls now.
Nice. All right, yeah. So, Margrim, you go talk to Lillian. She'll listen to you, and she'll just kind of, she doesn't really respond. She just kind of nods and says, fine. And then she tells you,
I lean over to Gee and I'm like, she's into me.
She tells. She'll say, we'll be in Bonner's Row, which you would know Bonner's Row is one of those villages outside of town. You guys have been to Greenway Village a couple times because that's where the Druid Circle is. Bonner's Row is the one that's more on the north side. So they're still both on the east side of the city, but Bonner's Row is northeast. And she says, we'll meet you in Bonner's Row.
Okay, Bonner's Row.
And then you guys all leave the Oaken Throne?
Yep.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
as you move towards the Church of Aeona, it's easy to see at night because the lights from the windows are so bright. It shines like a beacon. You can see that the door, which normally is wide open, is shut. You can see that there is actually a portcullis that has come down, and then behind it are these two solid, like oak or mahogany doors, very sturdy looking. Now, the building does have windows all over the place, but they are all leaded, and you know, they have like the grid of lead in the windows, which is going to give them some resistance. But this building looks like it's not a fortification, but it looks like it could be held at least for a while should anybody decide to attack it. And what you also see is surrounding this church, you see guards of the city of Redlam. You can see that there are guards lined up. You see that there are a couple of even castle guards. These more deadly looking, heavier armed soldiers are standing. They're not
look
like,
a little bit like the Shredder.
They look a little bit like the Shredder, not gonna lie.
Totally.
You see that there are like some archers that are sitting back. Nobody is like ready to rush the doors, but you can see that there's like a tense kind of standoff happening here. You can see that standing kind of towards the front, towards that front door, you see the captain of the guard that you talked with a couple days ago, trying to get your reward, Gardenia's boss. You see he is standing there, but standing further back, you see sitting atop two horses surrounded by their own personal bodyguards, Eleonora, the chancellor of Alaron Barony, the chancellor to the Baron. And now you imagine probably the person in charge now that the Baron has headed south towards Myrloff and the king. And you also see Thaddeus Lightbringer, that Tormtar, the high priest of the Temple of Torm. You see they are sitting on horses looking at the front of this building. You see that there are guards lined up around in the front, and you can see as you approach on the east side, you can see that there are other guards as well lined up. Because as you recall, there are two entrances into the dormitory part of the chapel on the south side, one of which Sylvie ran out of last time we were here. And then there is the main entrance on the north side. Most of the guards and Eleonora, as well as Thaddeus, the two people from the Baron's small circle, they are at the on the north end of the building by the front door. But you can see that there are guards lining up around the building on the east and on the west at these other two entrances. You can see that there is this, you can just feel it, this simmering anger amongst the guards. You guys wouldn't necessarily know this, but a guard was killed by Aeonans earlier that evening in the central market as Sylvie ran for her life and the B team saved the day. The city is, they're trying to figure out what is going on with the Church of Aeona. And if this is a treasonous attack on the city or if there is some kind of misunderstanding. They are on this unsteady standoff. As you guys move down towards sort of the east side of the building, it is dark out now. And so it's easier to kind of stay towards the shadows, but you make out a familiar face standing kind of outside of the fence that surrounds the church, but facing that eastern door. You see Gardenia. And I want everyone to make perception or insight checks right now as you approach the eastern side of the building.
Gee got a 9 perception.
Ornan got a 15 insight.
Mogrim got a 13 insight.
Sylvie got a 16 perception.
Okay. I would say, Sylvie, you notice that the entrance, the main entrance on the north side of the building, you notice that the guards are lined up in neat rows. They're not ready to attack. They're not like aggressive posture, but they are orderly. As you approach the east side, you notice that the guards are more spread out. You see that closest to that door is Gardenia. With your 15 insight, Ornan, you notice that it seems like something is going on where the other guards seem to be avoiding Gardenia. And I would say Sabrina, as the player of Gardenia, has been exposed as having some kind of magical power, some kind of arcane or latent or some kind of power because of what happened in this central market just a couple of hours before. And she has noticed that the other guards around her are giving her a wider berth. She probably feels a little bit excluded and a little bit
anxious as hell.
Probably nervous, probably shunned. Yes, yes, shunned, nervous, and anxious because of what she did in showing off that power and also how many people saw it. As you approach this east side of the church, you have not been spotted yet by the guards. You see the door that is supposed to be unlocked, and you see your way in to the Church of Iona to rescue the 16-year-old tiefling girl whose only crime was some kind of arcane power, and to see if you can save her from the pyre. And that's where we're going to stop for tonight and pick up next time.
Jeez, oh, the powder keg, guys.
This is exciting.
Seriously. At least the guards kind of seem to be on our side.
Time to start a riot. We're good at that stuff.
That is our class.
We have some experience in this.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, guys. Well, thank you so much for playing. Yeah, this was fun. I am very much looking forward to seeing what happens here in the Church of Iona. Don't forget, we have a shop. You guys can go check out our merch. We have buttons and we have stickers. We have a t-shirt, and hopefully we'll have I am a Pahafma. Are you? Or are you
not?
One,
are you
two?
One, two?
Are you? Well?
Are you? Hopefully we can get something like that.
So the story is, I was playing around with slogans. I am a Pahafma, are you? And I put 1, 2, and Paul's like, are you 12? Perv.
Oh. Yes, that did happen. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, so go check out our shop. And don't forget, if you're not a patron, go check out the Patreon. Support us a little bit. You can see these beautiful maps that we're playing on. I say they're beautiful because I made them. I'm very proud of them. This Church of Iona turned out great, in my opinion. And
I'm an objective third party. They are beautiful.
Well, after next episode, you might even be able to see all of the Church of Iona, depending on how things go. But until we get together next time, we hope you have a great time.
Let's burn it down.
I'm so excited.